Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're snacking on anything but tasty cake, you're making a huge Miss Cake. A fistful of chocolate-covered raisins? Miss Cake. A spoonful of peanut butter? Bigger Miss Cake. Or the worst Miss Cake of all, your kid's Halloween candy, and it's April. If it's not tasty cake, it's a Miss Cake, because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake, except no substitute.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Jason Lipschitz, and I am an associate editor and the Pop Shop blog editor of Billboard.com. Based in New York on the other line in Los Angeles is the killer mic to my LP, Keith Caulfield. How's it going, Keith?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. I'm running those jewels. That was that reference today.
Oh, you like Run the Jewels a lot, don't you?
I do.
Those jewels, they're running. It's hard to catch them. Gotta catch them all. It's like Bejeweled.
It's like the Pokemon of jewels.
Candy Crush.
I suppose.
Jewels.
Candy Crush.
Games on Facebook that we can't stand.
How are you doing, man?
I'm fine.
How are you doing on this wonderful day?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. We have a jam-packed show, as we always do. We have not one but two guests this week, and they are both playing the inaugural Billboard Hot 100 Festival, set to take place this weekend at Jones Beach in New York. We have MKTO, a Pop Shop Podcast regular, who are playing the Hot 100 Fest, and Lights, making her Pop Shop Podcast debut, a pop singer who I'm a big fan of. They will both be there this weekend. We talked to them about Hot 100 Fest and a lot of other stuff, so that's coming up later in the show. Also, we will be talking about Lana Del Rey, The Weeknd, some soon-to-be hits that I'm really a big fan of, and the Billboard 200 big week for Luke Bryan and Dr. Dre. We'll get to all of that in a second. Before we get to anything, of course, some housekeeping notes. If you love the Pop Shop Podcast as much as we do, slightly less than we do, maybe a little more than we do, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you never, ever, ever miss an episode. Give us a rating or review on iTunes. That way our stats go up and we cry tears of joy. If you have a question for Keith or myself, hit us up on Twitter. He is at Keith_Caulfield. I'm at Jason Lipschitz. And if you want to explore the entire Billboard podcast world, go to iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts.
The
world of podcasts. Keith, we sang Can't Feel My Face last week. Are you ready to rock and roll and maybe sing some other stuff this week?
Yes.
All right, let's do it, man. So we have a new old, an old new number one on the Hot 100 chart. Can't Feel My Face hit number one last week. It is not number one this week. Omi's Cheerleader back at number one for a fifth non-consecutive week. Keith, very quickly, we don't have to really dwell on this, but is this just the matter of these are two huge songs and one is slightly huger this week?
Hey, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
So cool. So congrats to Omi. And
you're like, yeah, we don't need to go into the math. You know, there's a great story online. You can read all about it. It was just one of those weeks.
Well, let's go into
the
math a little bit. I didn't know if you had the math in front of you.
Let's not. It's all right. The Weeknd was just down a little bit. It's still the most played song on radio, the most heard song on radio. So, you know, it's just the math didn't work out in The Weeknd's favor this week.
Foiled by math again.
Damn that math.
Other Hot 100 news, The Weeknd, number two with Can't Feel My Face, also number five with The Hills, that jumps up
two songs
six
in the top
spots.
Five, the first time a lead male artist has had two songs in the top five in actually quite a while. Gary wrote about this. The first time, or the last time it happened was like more than 5 years ago when B.O.B. did it. So that's very specific, lead male artist on two tracks in the top five. So everyone's working for The Weeknd and living for The Weeknd.
Yeah, and it's pretty unusual just because even B.O.B., those weren't like solo songs. I'm assuming it was Nothing on You and Airplanes.
It was. So it was still him with someone else, but still he was a lead act.
It's just hard for a solo act to chart two huge hits at the same time by himself. Usually you need some, if you think of someone like Iggy Azalea, she had one song last year with Fancy, Charlie XCX, and
then
the other song.
Why do you have to pile on Iggy again? Why are you pitting people against one another? Why is there this endless, like...
Come on! I'm not even pitting her against anybody. I'm just giving her as an example. But she did it, obviously, but with one was a lead act and another was a feature, and obviously another huge success, but just in a different way. It's just, my point is that it's hard for... You know, you don't really see this with... an artist, either male or female, charting two huge songs at the same time by themselves. Usually there's some sort of, they're on another person's track but featured, or it's like B.O.B., they have Bruno Mars on one song and Hayley Williams on another one. Anyway,
we got distracted there.
I think so. So, also, moving on a little bit, Ed Sheeran reaches a new peak with Photograph, up 19 to number 16. Demi Lovato, Cool for the Summer, up 20 to 17. And elsewhere, Keith, did you know both of our soon-to-be hits from last week's show debuted on the Hot 100 this week?
Really?
I know, man. I know. So Haley Steinfeld, Love Myself, Little Mix, Black Magic, both debut in the 90s. So
Little Mix was our soon-to-be hits last week? No.
I believe so.
It wasn't, wasn't last week, no. But it previously was, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because I remember talking about USC and how the video was shot there, and that I'm pretty sure that wasn't last week.
I don't know. I guess our listeners will help us out on that one. That's fine. There's so many soon-to-be hits that are soon-to-be hitting. So, Keith, speaking of Little Mix, did you watch the Teen Choice Awards last night?
You know, I missed it. And we're recording this on Monday, so it's Sunday night, so it's two nights ago. I missed it. I heard Little Mix performed, and
sure did.
I think Fifth Harmony may have performed.
No, it was Little Mix and 5 Seconds of Summer.
I'm sorry. You know, all the fives and the fifths, they all
fives
blur together.
And
I'm waiting for the collaboration between Five Sauce and Fifth Harmony. It's the, we're going to call it, you know, 10 notes.
Five become 10.
When five become 10, I need some pop like I never needed.
I did not watch it either, but I watched all the highlights right after it happened. It seemed like a really fun show. I think more award shows should give out surfboards as their trophies.
Surfboard?
Yeah. Like, that's a thing, right?
I want to see Beyonce perform on the Teen Choice Awards and sing surfboard.
It must be so... It must have been so cool, like, the Teen Choice Awards, I believe, started in 1999. It must have been so cool to be in that like brainstorm session of like, what the heck do we give as awards at the Teen Choice Awards? It's like, you know, the Oscars have Little Gold Man and the Video Music Awards have the Moon Man. What, you know what? Why don't we give a freaking surfboard?
Yeah, and who do you think is like the most sort of awarded Teen Choice Awards act or person in history? Like,
oh, I have no
let's
idea.
Let's just pick a name. Like, you know, let's say Britney. I don't know. Britney won an award. Yeah.
Britney did.
But at some point, my point was, at some point, you're going to have, like, a storage unit with, like,
so many
surfboards. So many surfboards.
Do you think, like, Robert Pattinson just has, like, a woodshed of Teen Choice Awards surfboards somewhere? He's just like, yeah, these are my Teen Choice Awards. I keep them in my woodshed. Anyway.
Yeah, and you think, you know, having like Beyonce's 15 Grammy Awards or 17, somewhere around there, is distracting, you know, when you walk into someone's house or, you know, surfboards. That's a lot of surfboards.
I would proudly display my Teen Choice Award, like, in my living room.
I wonder
room.
If they're actually, like, surfable. Like, can you actually
probably
take them?
Not.
Are they, like, you know,
I don't know.
Will they dissolve in the water?
Someone who's won a Teen Choice Award, please let us know if the surfboard is surfable. Keith, we have to move on. Let's talk about a couple songs that are not in the top 10, not in the top 20, not even in the top 40, but could be headed there soon enough. That's why we call this segment Soon to Be Hits. All right, man, we got two good ones this week, as we always do. Keith, you go ahead. I'll defer to you to start this week.
Well, this is a song that I was frankly unfamiliar with until super recently. It's called Hold Each Other, and it's by A Great Big World, and it features Futuristic. It debuts on the mainstream top 40 chart at number 40, otherwise known as Pop Songs on Billboard.com, and it could debut on the Hot 100 here in the next few weeks if it continues to grow. The interesting thing about this song is that it's by the pop duo A Great Big World, of course, who had that big song with Christina Aguilera, Say Something. But this song, and we wrote about this on Billboard.com, started out as a standard love song between a man and a woman, but it wound up meaning a lot more for A Great Big World's Chad King. It actually is sort of a coming out song for him, as we wrote in our story on Billboard.com. I'm kind of paraphrasing the story because it tells the story better than I can. King said that he and his musical partner in the group, Ian Axel, had written the song with the line, quote, "Something happens when I hold her," and Axel posed it to him, "Chad, how are you going to sing this and deliver it honestly?" And so then they changed the lyric, and Chad himself says it's sort of a big coming out song for me. He told a radio station in an interview, I think, a week or two ago. So there you go. That is my soon-to-be hit. It's A Great Big World's new single, Hold Each Other, which debuts on the mainstream top 40 chart.
Very cool song, a very important song, obviously, for, you know, and we actually mentioned Great Big World last week because they were the first ever guest on the Pop Shop podcast,
well, you know,
right when Say Something was growing at radio.
What's also cool about this is, it's important to have songs that are by gay folks in general.
Yeah.
Said as a gay, and it's great to have songs, you know, from Macklemore and Ryan Lewis about, you know, marriage, but it's also great when you can actually have a song by a guy who is singing a song with a male pronoun, you know.
Yeah,
that's cool, you know. I think that's great, and if it's not even an issue, if it's not even like a news event, that's even better too, because it's like a normal thing. And so I hope this song does well, and maybe we'll see some more.
Yeah, you get to that point where it's just not even a big deal at all, and that's how it should be.
Yeah,
and yeah, man, very cool on Soon to Be Hits. And just mine is not as socially meaningful.
You don't have a political one? Come on.
But mine is a song I love and I've loved for months now. It's Here by Alessia Cara. This song debuted on the Hot 100 finally last week at number 95, moves up 10 more spots this week to number 85. And I've been hearing this song a good amount on Z100 in New York, and a couple other radio stations have been playing it a lot. So I'm excited about that. It's kind of an anti-party song. It's about feeling alienated at a party, and the way that Alessia Cara, who this is her debut single, for those who are not familiar, she signed to Def Jam. She's a teenage artist, and she's so magnetic on this song, and just has such an interesting delivery that I'm really rooting for her. I'm really rooting for the song. It goes up to number 85 this week on the Hot 100. So there you go, man. A Great Big World, Alessia Cara. Those two are soon to be hits.
I'm guessing Pitbull is not featured on her track.
No.
Because,
no.
You know, he's all about the party, you know?
Raise no,
your glass,
yeah.
That, in the air, you feel alone in the corner. Come on,
that'd be,
party,
that'd
party,
be funny. That'd be funny if he did a response song called There.
There. It's like, you just aren't trying hard enough. I don't know. He doesn't sound like that. And I'm sure Pitbull's a lovely gentleman.
I'm sure Pitbull's a lovely gentleman.
I'm
too.
Sure he's a love. I'm sure Mr. Bull is perfectly lovely.
Mr. Bull. Keith, before we get to the Hot 100 Fest preview, let's talk a little bit about the Billboard 200 albums chart, which you wrote about this weekend. And we talked about a little bit last week with Luke Bryan versus Dr. Dre. It actually was fairly close.
Not
I mean,
really?
Not, I mean, it wasn't close in terms of like in dispute, but in the same kind of stratosphere, you have two of the biggest debuts of the year in Dr. Dre's Compton and then Luke Bryan's new set. So Keith, let's talk about these ones.
Yeah, so Luke Bryan's new album, Kill the Lights, debuts at number one. It is his third number one album on the Billboard 200 chart. It starts with 345,000 equivalent album units. Of that, 320,000 were pure album sales. Those figures are both the third largest overall unit figure for the year for an album and also the third biggest sales week for an album, behind only Drake's surprise album, If You're Reading This, It's Too Late, and Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly. So Luke is in some good company there. Dr. Dre debuts at number two with his new album Compton, did 295,000 overall units, of which 276,000 were pure sales. I didn't say this in my story online, but it kind of begs the question, would Dr. Dre have been number one if he just maybe moved his album to a different week? Yes, because it's unusual that albums would do this well in kind of any week now. And basically, Dr. Dre probably would have been number one in most weeks of the year had he moved his album to another week. Maybe if he'd held it just one week, it probably would have been number one. Or if he just pushed it up a little bit, could have been number one. That said, Dr. Dre has actually never had a number one album on his own. This is his third solo album, his first album in nearly 16 years. His last album, Dr. Dre 2001, or some people just call it 2001, peaked at number two for multiple weeks. And his album before that, his debut, The Chronic, peaked at number three. Don't feel too bad for Dr. Dre. He's basically a billionaire, and he also had his own number one album as part of NWA. It's fine. Don't feel too bad for Dre.
I just picture like little kids on like street corners, like looking down, and
no. And
Keith coming over, like, "Cheer up, kid! Dr. Dre's a billionaire.
You got a dime? Got some candy? You want to buy some candy from me?
Here's a cigar."
Suddenly, it's like turns like, "Hey, you want some candy? I've got some candy. I don't know why I'm giving out candy to children."
I mean, it's funny because you mentioned in your story that, like you said, Luke Bryan. This is the biggest country debut in terms of sales since Luke Bryan's last album,
Crash
the
Crash Party.
So he's just on another plane as everyone else. And I feel like people know that, but I think just because he doesn't have the kind of longevity as someone like a Garth Brooks or, you know, even like a Kenny Chesney, Tim McGraw. People kind of don't see him among that class, but obviously he is operating at... Such a high level.
The thing is, Luke Bryan has actually been charting on our country airplay chart since 2007. Most people, in terms of sort of pop, really haven't been paying attention to him until like the last couple years.
Yeah.
And even in country, like, he really didn't start to kind of like break until a good couple years into his career. Like, he was kind of like a Kenny Chesney in a way, to a degree, where Kenny had album after album that did okay, and then all of a sudden he puts out his first greatest hits album and it becomes this big huge success, and then ever since then, like, people really connected the name Kenny Chesney to songs and he really found an identity. And I think Luke kind of did that too, where he was kind of at a certain tier and then he moved up to superstardom, certainly with Crash My Party, and ever since then he's kind of been on a roll.
Very cool, man. So congrats to Luke Bryan again, and congrats to Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre's back. It's funny because...
Did you forget about Dre?
I feel like I forgot about Dre a little bit. I don't know. Did you forget about Dre?
No.
He is still DRE. That's the good thing, is he is still DRE. So, Keith, let's talk a little bit about Hot 100 Fest. Billboard's Hot 100 Festival. Again, like I said, it's this weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Tickets are still available. Go to this event. Like, this will be so fun.
There's even a ticket that costs $10,000 that will fly you in on a helicopter.
That is true.
That is true.
If you want to do that and you have the money to do that, then by all means,
because ultimately
that helicopter.
You're helping pay our salaries here. So really, it's about supporting us. Really.
I guess that's true.
Somewhere along the lines, that money will come back to us.
Well, I mean,
in a very,
I just hope
very
that
small way.
I hope the $10,000 comes back to us directly. Like, they just the like Pop Shop podcast. Here's 5,000 for Jason, 5,000 for Keith. And we're just like,
can we like record the podcast on the helicopter? Like, can we like hop in and like travel with some people?
I hope so. That would be kind of noisy,
but you can call me from your cell phone and like I can record the audio. That'd be awesome.
Be like, hey everybody, welcome to the Pop Shop podcast.
Maybe not.
But anyway, for those who are not aware, the lineup this year is just so much fun. Obviously, the big names are The Weeknd and Nicki Minaj and Lil Wayne, night one, and then Skrillex and Justin Bieber. Very special performance by Justin Bieber. They will be performing Where Are You Now, their top 10 hit, on Sunday, August 23rd. And of course, August 23rd is 5 days away from Justin Bieber's new single, What Do You Mean, coming out. And hey, look at that. Actually, Billboard helped confirm that Justin Bieber's new album is slated for a November 13th release.
Speaking of Bieber, I just want to say, as a quick aside, he's been doing this countdown where every day he posts like a new video from someone else who's pimping his new single, like promoting it, which is coming out later. And I think my favorite so far, and I haven't seen the most recent ones, my favorite so far was the Alanis Morissette one. You have to go to Bieber's Instagram and Twitter, find it.
I like
it
that
is
one
so
too.
Funny. I'm not going to spoil it, but it's just really funny.
I enjoy the fact that Shaq spelled his name wrong. That was a good one. He did the B-E-I-B-E-R. I think that's what he did. But that's okay. But anyway, so the lineup is far more, obviously, than its headliners. And we got two really special artists to stop by and talk about Hot 100 Fest before they play this weekend. So first up, this is MKTO. You might remember MKTO from classic top 20 hit on the Hot 100. Love those guys. Tony and Malcolm stopped by to talk about their new EP as well as Hot 100 Fest. And here it is, MKTO. MKTO. Let's try that again. MKTO on the Pop Shop Podcast. MKTO, thank you guys for stopping by the Pop Shop Podcast.
Thank you for having us.
You've been here before.
Yes, sir.
You're wily veterans of the Pop Shop Podcast.
No.
And you guys are playing our Hot 100 Fest.
We are. Ooh, thank you so much for having us there. That is a crazy lineup. I think that's going to be
excited.
The favorite show of the year.
Well, who are you guys most excited to see?
I'm excited to see a lot of people. I mean, Skrillex, our girl ZZ Ward's also on there, which is awesome.
Lil Wayne.
Wayne, of course. I want to see what Bieber performs.
Special performance? Yeah.
Weeknd.
Weekend, yeah.
Weeknd. See if his hair is there.
Intact.
Yeah.
I hope it is.
Yeah, apparently there are rumors while we're taping this that he shaved his hair.
We saw a Snapchat, but I don't know. You know, you can't trust internet these days.
You can't trust the Snapchats. If that's one thing I have taken away from my time at Billboard, don't trust Snapchats.
Yeah, and so you actually, I'm going to hope that wouldn't happen. But either way, can't feel my face. What a smash.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what like Hot 100 songs are you guys feeling right now?
Oh, man. I mean, there's a lot of great music. I really like the new Calvin Harris.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot. I love
like a
it.
Smash,
it's kind of weird because it kind of brings you back to like this, especially with like, you know, Jason Derulo, Want You to Want Me. It kind of brings me back to the Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of a day and era. So it's kind of cool to hear those synths and sounds coming back. So
it's 80s.
I think in general, man, that show is just going to have all the songs pretty much we've been jamming. So
that crowd is going to love it, man. They're getting
it's
gonna
be
show
nuts.
For
And what's
once
cool is that,
lifetime.
You know, you guys are, you know, you guys make such fun pop music. And I feel like this crowd is going to be so ready to embrace that at the show. Because you guys got, like you said, like ZZ Ward. You have like Betty Who, Little
Mix.
Yeah,
it's a great,
you
a
have,
great mix.
You have all of these pop artists kind of coming
Fetty
together.
Wap.
Fetty Wap.
Maybe we'll do it on my
it's
way.
It's going to be crazy. Hey.
Oh, I love it. Oh, man.
How often does Tony sing My Way?
No, man. No.
He's playing.
I think
though.
I love that.
He played that song for me, I think.
I love that song. I thought I heard that hook, and I was like, oh, this song's going to be a smash. That one, and then First Let Me Hop Out the Moon. I was like, oh, that song's going to be a smash.
You
it's
guys
great,
are just
going
to go through the Hot 100 during
I,
your
I,
Hot 100
you know,
fest.
Yeah, I love it. But we're excited, man, especially with this new record. We think it's a lot more mature and a lot more crazier sounds I don't think people expect from us.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. So when did you guys get into the mode of following up the first album? At what point, like if you can give a timeline, when were you guys like, all right, we've done that. It's time to make something else. It's time to start the next chapter.
When did we release the first record?
That was like
the day after.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, really?
We were ready.
Wow.
I mean, in general, we're always coming up with ideas. We love just in general
while on the road, we were writing,
top lining and funny stuff. But no, to be serious, we really dug into it probably about, I don't know, I'd say 10 months ago.
After the tour, after the
Demi tour. After the Demi tour, it was pretty much every time we were home, we were going in the studio. But we wanted to do something a lot more, a lot more just out there. And we thought we loved the first record, and we thought it was a great first record for us. But we definitely wanted to explore more of the darker kind of sounds that you know, we kind of realized after playing all these shows, what kind of works with live audiences and what sort of sounds we should implement in the music, as far as, I don't think on the first record you hear any 808s at all.
Yeah.
And this record you hear a lot of them. So, it's about just kind of going in different lanes, and that's the one thing I think we can always hopefully get away with is not really having a necessary theme. So it was definitely all over the board, but
It sounds like the fans and the listeners impacted the direction a little bit, but how did you guys personally, where you guys were at, doing this together, mm-hmm. being, growing as individuals, how did that impact the music this time around?
Just being on tour and just experiencing life, and just bringing that into the music and, just like a song about bad girls, just talking about a relationship and just talking about new stuff that was going on, but making it relatable, to the people and to the fans. And, us growing as people, that's why the music is kind of a little bit more mature this time around. And we got to write so much more this time around on this album. So we're just taking what we learned and just kind of something else we wanted to say on this album. Just didn't really have a theme. That's why it's so diverse. And, with this EP, we just chose four songs that we thought are going to represent the album very well. And they're all kind of different in themselves. So, I don't know. I just love it. We're ready for this EP to be out.
Very cool. Who did you guys work with?
It was very cool. We actually signed originally with E-Man and Evan, which are producers. Yeah. And they're just amazing writers and producers. And it was cool this time around because we definitely brought in a lot more outside people to just co-write with us. And definitely taking tracks from, people that would submit them that were just great tracks and kind of opening the board to, let people in and kind of experience a new sound with us. And that led to just also being inspired by, I think, Mark Ronson is just an incredible producer. It's really cool to hear horns back on the radio. And, we brought in baritone saxophone on this record and horns And I don't want to say this, but I will say this record is more horny than the last record.
Oh, wow. Ah! That was great. MKTO, once again, they will be playing Hot 100 Fest this weekend. And as well, also playing Hot 100 Fest this weekend is Lights, the Canadian musician behind 2014's Little Machines album. She talked about that album, following it up, being a new mom, and of course playing Hot 100 Fest. Once again, here is Lights on the Pop Shop Podcast.
Lights, thank you so much for stopping by the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy to have you in, not only because I love the album Little Machines
came out
last year. Almost a year ago, we were just saying.
Yeah, we're getting there, a couple months.
Wow, unbelievable. Yeah. How has this whole run been for you? I mean, this is not your first go round, not your first rodeo.
Yeah.
But this seems like you were hitting a new plateau this time. Is that feel correct?
It's definitely the busiest time of my life, I would say. And I don't know if that's just because I'm a mother now on mm-hmm. top of it, and which is a full-time job on top of it. But aside from that, it's been amazing and this insane journey. There's been so much going on. The record came out in September and it feels like a couple months ago. And that's the weird part.
Yeah.
Cause it's just been, we've been on 5 or 6 tours in that time.
Yeah.
Done some huge shows and then lots of stuff in between, lots of really cool, trips and been writing. And then we just got out of the studio doing really neat stripped down versions of some of the songs on Little Machines. I haven't really officially announced that yet or anything, but I'm excited for people to hear it. So it's been really busy and awesome. And I feel really satisfied with the record. I think it's okay being busy and overwhelmed when you're really happy with your work. If I wasn't happy with the songs or with the way that everything was rolling out, it would be a lot more complicated, but I'm coasting,
Well, absolutely. And you mentioned that you've been on a bunch of tours with a bunch of different artists. You have another one coming up, right?
Yeah.
With the Mowglies,
yeah,
which is
this
exciting.
Fall, co-headliner with the Mowglies in the States.
That's very cool. What have been some of the highlights of the tours that have already happened behind this album?
Every tour has been so different. I mean, the last big tour we did here in the States was with, we brought out ex-ambassadors. It was the second time we brought them out, and they're just great dudes, so talented. Love watching them every night. It's nice to go on tour with bands that you really appreciate and love.
Yeah.
And it was like that, the last tour that they did before they blew up, because they got that, the Jeep placement during that tour. They're like, oh, we're going
yeah,
to have to film this
had a
Jeep thing.
Huge couple months.
And they're just the best. So we feel really, really close with them, and watching them kind of blow up has been awesome. Also, we were in the UK in January, February, and got to bring out this artist, Kay Flay, and I'd never heard of her before the tour, but she's actually one of my favorite artists now. We're bringing her out again on the fall tour.
Oh.
The latter half of the tour with the Mowglis. So I'm lucky that I'm able to meet people like that. I think that makes this job the best. Is, I mean, aside from getting to go out and run around on stage and people pay to see you do that, which is kind of crazy,
yeah,
which is my favorite part of everything. The people you meet, and this is the talent you see and the inspiration, like watching other people on stage gives me ideas and inspiration. And it's like this constant stream of music that keeps keeping you plugged in and electrified. All the images and sounds
superimposed into all the background. You're playing Hot 100 Fest.
Yeah,
Billboard's
can't wait.
New festival. Yeah, are you a huge like pop purveyor? Like, do you listen to top 40 radio all the time?
Music.
Yeah.
Pop is the best. I think pop songwriting is the best songwriting in the world. There's such a formula to creating a pop song, and then being artistically interesting and unique within that formula is a huge challenge, and that's what I love about it. So how do you create a song that's pretty much format-wise the same as every other song,
yeah,
but still make it a different song and still make it new and interesting? I just, that's what I love about it. And I love hearing, there's a lot of great pop music out right now, and I just love seeing how people are bending and twisting that pop format into something new. And I love trying it myself.
What are some of your favorites right now?
Well, I love like Charlie XCX. There's a lot of these girls coming out, like Lorde and Lana yeah. Del Rey and Sia. There's just a lot of female talent with songwriters and sort of pushing even the synth pop, synth rock boundaries, paving the way for that. I mean, I was making synth pop before it was like on the radio.
Yeah.
So I felt at the time that it was something really new, but now it's just you see it everywhere, and it's awesome. I mean, there's this whole new wave of synth rock and synth pop for women especially.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's something I'm excited about for Hot 100 Fest, is because there aren't that many, like, aside from like Jingle Ball and stuff like that, there aren't that many like big pop festivals that celebrate
yeah.
like
celebrate
top 40 music.
Pop music. I know it's always like you got to be this super cool artist before you can play a cool festival.
Yeah.
But I don't understand what creates a super cool artist, like, because you don't make pop music. Pop music is amazing. And we'll go out in
style. Very cool. And we'll be doing a lot of fun stuff backstage with the Hot 100 Fest performers and the fans, and like I'm telling you. So Keith, you're in LA. You're not going to be at Hot 100 Fest, sadly.
No,
right?
No, no one. No one is helicoptering me in, unfortunately.
If we had that helicopter money, man, I would fly you out. That's how I'd spend my helicopter money. I'd fly you out so we could take in the Bieber and Skrillex together. But unfortunately, Keith is not going to be able to make it. I will be holding it down. It's actually kind of fun because this week is Hot 100 Fest. I will be there, and the next weekend is the Video Music Awards. You will be there.
Oh, that's right.
So we're doing a little tag team.
These things tend to sneak up on you.
I know, man. It's summer's flying by. But yeah. So again, tickets are still available. Come to the Hot 100 Fest. We'll hang out. If you recognize me from the Pop Shop Podcast, I will probably buy you a soda, because that would make my heart sing.
Or something that's like deep fried.
Yeah.
There's got to be a food truck with something deep fried.
I just feel like, you know, it's always a nice, I don't really drink soda, but like if someone were to want a soda and they saw me and recognized
me.
You
can buy them a nice iced tea.
Yeah, maybe a nice, maybe like a Gatorade or a Powerade.
Do you like a lovely
Powerade
juice box?
Do people still drink Powerade? I guess they do.
I'm very athletic, but I don't.
Keith, are you ready, my man, for your chart stat of the week?
So this week in 2002, on August 17th, Nelly's Dilemma, featuring Kelly Rowland, Nelly, I love you, hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Dilemma was the first Hot 100 hit for a member of Destiny's Child and would spend 10 weeks at number one. Roland went on to collect 10 more hits, including my personal favorite single of hers. Can you guess, Jason, what it might be? Maybe?
Is there a Madonna song that she's done?
Shut up.
Is there... I love When Love Takes Over.
That is my favorite Kelly Rowland song.
I love that song. You know, can I tell you a very quick story about that?
You can tell me a long story.
I interviewed... This was back in 2009, I think. It was early 2009 when that song kind of took off. And I interviewed David Guetta, and no one knew, in the U.S. at least, knew who David Guetta was. And I interviewed him. And he was like, and very affable and very, very charming and very French. And he was like, "I have this song coming out with the Black Eyed Peas. I got a feeling it's gonna take over the world." And he said something like that. I was like, "All right, okay." And then, hey, look at that, David Guetta was right. Anyway,
look at you. I've interviewed David Guetta for like a half an hour, like live stream for Billboard once. He was
He
was, you know, very French, and he's, you know, was
very French.
He talks, you know, he has the Frenchness about him, and it was lovely. That's my horrible David Guetta impression. Let me finish though about the chart stat of the week. Kelly's fellow Destiny's Child member Beyonce would make her Hot 100 debut. Actually, after Roland, later on in 2002, with O3, Bonnie and Clyde, alongside Jay-Z, Beyonce has actually earned a total of 40 Hot 100 hits, including 5 number ones. She most recently visited the list with her feature turn on Nicki Minaj's Feeling Myself, which peaked at number 39 in June. And not to be left out, Michelle Williams, the other member of Destiny's Child, well, of the trio of Destiny's Child.
Sure.
She has not visited the Hot 100 herself, however, but she has actually charted a big hit in the past year or so on our gospel charts with Say Yes, which happens to feature Kelly Rowland and Beyonce. And they're both featured in the video, and they turned in a performance at, I believe it was the Stellar Awards earlier this year when they opened the show, and it was a surprise and everyone kind of lost their minds. So that's your chart stat of the week. This week in 2002, Destiny's Child's first solo hit the Hot 100, number one spot, Kelly Rowland. Dilemma. That's the only part of the song you know. It's
Thank you, Keith, for your chart stat of the week. All right, man, that is going to do it for us at the Pop Shop Podcast. Once again, we will be doing something fun at Hot 100 Fest, and we'll be back next week with a very, very cool guest. I'm really excited about this one. I think people might know who it is and what it is, but we're really psyched about this one. And yeah, man, then we'll also talk about the Video Music Awards, which are the week after next. So yeah, let's keep it rocking and rolling. Keith, do you have any parting words? Let's go out on Dilemma, Nelly, and Kelly. Thanks for listening, and take care. You don't know what you mean to me.
If you're snacking on anything but tasty cake, you're making a huge Miss Cake. A fistful of chocolate-covered raisins? Miss Cake. A spoonful of peanut butter? Bigger Miss Cake. Or the worst Miss Cake of all, your kid's Halloween candy, and it's April. If it's not tasty cake, it's a Miss Cake, because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake. Accept no substitutes.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.